Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Analysis and opinion so honest, it's just a matter of time before they get themselves in trouble. Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, welcome to Baseball Central for Monday, May 2nd. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. Jays and Rangers open a series tonight at the Rogers Center. Big homestand for the Jays, Rangers, and then the L.A. Dodgers come into town. All right, enough of the music. Jays 5-1 winners over Tampa.
Man. Happy yesterday. Monday.
Happy Monday. So it's going to be all hell breaking loose tonight at the ballpark.
Sure,
right? It's going to be bean brawls.
Yeah,
AJ Griffin's going to hit Batista. R.A. Dickey's going to hit Prince Fielder with a 32-mile-an-hour pitch. It's going to be awful.
32-mile-an-hour? Oh, yeah, I guess. Well,
he's going to hump it up to 32.
If you're the Texas Rangers, you're coming in here and you're looking at the stats of the Blue Jays, I don't know if you've noticed, but they're having a little trouble hitting, right?
Yeah.
Why would you be hitting guys?
Yeah, it's true.
That made no sense, would it?
You're hitting 230, dude. You're getting a fastball down the middle.
Well, maybe not down the middle, but you're going to get something middle of the way, I'm going to guess. Until they start hitting, that's a, you know. So, no, I don't see that happening. Why would that happen?
You're just spoiling all the fun. I mean, we're trying to build this up into something that it isn't, which is what we do in sports talk radio. And you're not, I didn't get that memo.
Travis did not text me. You're not playing along. Well, he didn't text me when I was stuck in traffic.
You're supposed to tell everybody that there's going to be, you know, bean brawls and.
Oh.
Not to throw beer cans in the field
and
stuff like
that. My parents always used to tell me when I was growing up, never lie. So.
All right.
There you go.
So you're not expecting anything tonight.
Why would they? I'm going to ask that again. Why?
Just because.
Okay, maybe.
The whole bat flip in game five, right? The bat flip in game five was, I mean, you don't think that the Texas Rangers, every time Sam Dyson turned around in the offseason, he's seeing Batista flipping the bat. Every time. Every time Jeff Bannister turns on his TV set, there's Batista flipping the bat.
I'm sure they'd rather come in here and sweep the Blue Jays.
They're giving a T-shirt out. They're giving a T-shirt out on Thursday.
Are you getting a T-shirt?
Yeah, no, but they're giving it out. It's not going to have the bat flip on it, thank God. But it's a picture of the Blue Jays celebrating their win over the Rangers.
What's that got to do with them getting hit?
Well, it's like poking the bear, you know. Don't poke the bear.
No, I'm sure if you send a couple over to the Rangers, that probably wouldn't go over well, but... Yeah, you are really trying to stir this, aren't you?
What if you show the Batista home run tonight on the video board while they're taking batting practice? Put it on a repeated loop for like 150 minutes.
Hmm.
You know, what about that?
That may do it.
Eh?
That would do it.
It'd be great.
Right.
You're right. No one's gonna do that. You know what? It may happen. It may happen later in the year in Texas. You know that
happened in 2015, right? Not last week or the first couple days of April. Long memories.
Anyhow, Ari Dickey will be in the mound for the Blue Jays, so.
You have to send me memos now if you want me to go along with things like this.
Okay.
From here on.
So Barker doesn't expect anything.
Why would there? You don't think the Rangers pitching staff is looking at the same thing we are and going, hey, you know, they're right now
what
they're
are
struggling.
They?
Let's not poke the bear.
What are they looking at when they look at the Blue Jays?
They're looking at a team that has a real tough time hitting the fastball and
hitting left-handers, which is outrageous for this lineup.
They're hitting .219 against left-handers. So, the one thing that used to be scary for opposing teams to come in here and opposing managers, you may think on how to finagle your rotation around not throwing lefties against them. Now it's... And it basically gets down to in-game adjustments. You're just not making them.
They get two lefties, by the way. Martin Perez will pitch Tuesday's game for the Rangers. And Derek Holland pitches Thursday's game. Wednesday will be Colby Lewis. And as we said, right-hander A.J. Griffin pitching for the Rangers today. Tonight in the first
But they hit more home runs, so that's a good thing. That's always a good thing with this team is they're starting to drive the baseball and they're doing it in the middle of the field, which is always a good thing.
You got a good stat about their home runs this weekend in Tampa. The Jays, by the way, did win. Got to say this. The Jays did win a series in Tampa, which is a big deal because they quite often don't. Most of the time they don't. They did win the series in Tampa. capping it with a 5-1 win yesterday. Marcus Stroman was tremendous. Josh Donaldson homered. Troy Tulowitzki hit a bomb, hit an absolute bomb. Three-run home
okay,
run.
Let me ask you this. Oh, we obviously know the Blue Jays are struggling in the bullpen. We know they're struggling on occasion hitting the fastball. They're struggling when there's guys on base driving in runs. What's that say about Tampa Bay? When you go into Tampa Bay, you take two out of three on a team that's really not running on all cylinders. They're not doing everything exactly like right with the Blue Jays. Is that saying that the Blue Jays are that good? Or Tampa's are you saying bad. Tampa Bay's that bad?
Maybe
which one you think?
I think it's a little of both.
Uh-huh.
Maybe more the Tampa Bay's that bad.
Yeah, well, you can tell that they're on the defensive side of the ball, they really struggle to make all the routine plays. And hitting is,
yeah,
it's really hard to watch.
I thought that lineup would be a lot better. It looks like I'm going to be wrong again about the Rays.
Maybe it's where they play. Maybe that has a lot to do with it, too. You pan that whenever they pan around the stadium and there's 175 people in the stands. Hey, is that home field advantage?
No.
I mean, even in the big leagues, you know, I understand they make a lot of money and it's a lot of fun being a big leaguer, but when you've been in the big leagues a long time and you're going home, you want some sort of a home field advantage, right?
Absolutely.
Is it there?
Yeah. It's a tough place for both teams to play.
It is
play.
Very
there's,
hard,
There's
yes.
really not much
very,
in the way.
I mean, I'm not making excuses.
There's really
for
not
the
much
team, but.
In the way of atmosphere there. Troy Tulowitzki, 3-run home run yesterday. Any good signs you're seeing from Troy Tulowitzki?
Well, I mean, he had a 94-mile-an-hour fastball out to left field. That's always a good sign. He got on. It was a little bit up. I mean, he got on top of it. I think that's the issue is, again, it gets back to confidence. I think it all gets back to rhythm and timing and confidence for him. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with confidence when you've been around as long as he has. It's not about your mechanics anymore. It's about getting confident at the plate, going up, knowing if I do everything the way I do it in the cage, I don't have to think about it when I'm in the batter's box. I just go up there, see ball, hit ball, and, you know, hopefully that 3-run homer is going to give him a lot of that, where he just goes up and forgets about everything else. Forget about looking at the scoreboard. Forget about trying to go middle the other way. Forget about whatever. See ball, stay through it. And hit the ball hard, consistently. He does that with the talent he has, man. This team's going to be scary. It really is. When he gets it going behind the big three, and if Saunders can keep doing what he's doing, look out.
Saunders has been very effective at the top of the order. I may have to reassess my opinion of Michael Saunders. He's been better than I think we both thought.
What was your
be.
Opinion to start with?
You know, he was okay. No, I mean, my opinion, he was a guy.
Well, we haven't seen him a long time.
My opinion was he was just, he was a guy.
Well, I think that's warranted with a career 230 hitter, yeah. and he hasn't played the last two seasons, but about 80-some games. You know, it's, again, you have to take your hats off to a guy like that. He simplified it. He knows what he's going to get leading off, which is a lot of heaters, and he has to pick one out, and when he gets it, he has to put it in play, and right now he's doing that. That's, I say this level, what I could not do when I played at this level, which is the big leagues, is consistently be efficient with my routine, meaning every time I went to the plate, everything from the ground up just worked, and I didn't have to think about it. That's what these guys do better than anybody. That they forget about it. Now that's what I keep saying is it's all about between the ears. If I get the between the ears thing right and think, hey, if I just get it in the right place that I'm looking for and I put a halfway decent swing on it, I put it in play, great things are going to happen because it works that way in batting practice, in the cage, and now I'm just going to carry it over because I'm mentally strong and I figured out that that's what I do over and over and over again. It's going to work. That's what he's doing.
Why would this team have difficulty against left-handed pitchers in particular? Is that just a reflection of everything that's going wrong with them?
Yeah, well, I think it gets back to a lot, too. Hitting's contagious, and one guy starts not hitting, and then the other guy you know, it has to put a lot of pressure on himself, and he starts not hitting, and the guy behind him does the same thing, and then it's just a sort of a trickle-down effect. Do we see this thing lasting for very long? I don't see how. I just think their in-game adjustments have to get better. You see Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay made a conscious effort from game one to the last game. We're going to go away with hard stuff. We're going to show an off-speed pitch on occasion, but it's going to be mainly hard away, okay? Well, make that in-game adjustment and say, let's start driving things the other way up the middle. I think that's what's going to happen more often than not with the Blue Jays because they're that good. We can be a little bit harder on this team because they're that good. And no, I just don't see it happening for very much longer. I think it's going to be, you know, it's sort of like Edwin. Edwin had a little trouble in that three-game series because he stands really far back in the box. You get that little bit of movement on the fastball away, and he keeps seeing it out there and keeps seeing it out there and keeps seeing it out there, and they go a little bit further trying to get him to swing at it, and he's hitting those little ladies lazy fly balls to right field. That's what I'm talking about in-game adjustments. Maybe move a little bit. Catcher sees you moving. All of a sudden, he calls timeout, runs out. The game plan changes. That's what you want. Then a pitcher starts being a little bit more fine. When he is fine, he leaves balls on the plate. He hangs a breaking ball. And then we know what Edwin does to hanging breaking balls. That's my point.
We talked in the previous hour when Stephen Brunt was in here about Marcus Stroman's performance yesterday. One run and three hits, just two walks, nine strikeouts in that 5-1 win. And I made the point that I thought Marcus Stroman looked a lot less animated during that game than we've seen him in the past. Now, we know, of course, in his last game, we know what happened in the dugout after Brett Cecil gave up the lead. We all agree that Marcus Stroman wasn't trying to show up anybody. He was just pissed. But he pitched a fit in the dugout and, you know, walked down to the tunnel. And we know, Pete Walker told us in the show, you were here, that they were going to sit down and talk to Marcus about that and say, you know, essentially, you don't do that. Well, I made the point that I thought he looked a lot more in control yesterday. I didn't see him walking off the mound doing the talking to himself as much as he has in the past. I looked for it after that home run he gave up to Evan Longoria. Didn't see that. This is what Buck Martinez had to say on the Jeff Blair Show about Marcus Stroman and his demeanor yesterday.
I have an idea why it happened, and I'm pretty pleased of why it happened, and I'll just keep it at that. But, you know, he's got some very good teammates, and Marcus is a very smart young man. He went out there and did his job yesterday, and he looked like a seasoned vet.
That would indicate to me that somebody spoke to Marcus
Pete Walker. Why what happened? Why he didn't show emotion around the mound during the game?
Yeah, he was very un-Marcus-like yesterday.
Well, here's what it is. I played with Pete Walker. I know Pete Walker personally. If anybody's going to handle it and handle it in a hurry and handle it the right way, it's Pete Walker, the pitching coach for the Blue Jays. He's that good when it comes to personalities and understanding the game and understanding the way it's supposed to be and getting everybody on the same page. So with that said, I'm going to say it started with Pete Walker, but you know, I'm going to give Marcus Stroman a lot of credit here and say that he's grown up and he's being a man. And I say this again, when you're the number one on a team and on a staff, you get looked at differently than everybody else, the other four guys. And he's understanding that, and he's taking it and running with it. Hey, let's understand this right now. Living at the knees with four or five different pitches, that plays. That's gonna sort of rein in your emotions and say, hey, basically, if I keep doing what I'm doing and throwing every pitch I got at the knees, I'm going to have a lot of success. Let's tone it down a little bit and just help my team go out and win games. Give him some credit, and I'm going to give him that because he's evolving in front of our eyes. How's that?
He certainly is. I think we've got to remember this kid had a lot thrust on him. I mean, he took a lot of it on himself too, but this kid has basically had people telling him for the last year and a half that you're the greatest story in baseball. And
yeah, well, and without the seven inherited runners given up by the bullpen, his ERA would be, you know, in the very low numbers, and he'd be astronomically very, very good.
We have to talk about the bullpen, by the way. Friday, the Jays won 6-1. Sunday, 5-1 win. Saturday, another meltdown, 4-3 loss, courtesy of the bullpen. Mm-hmm. You know, Stephen Brunt asked Buck this question. What does John Gibbons do in the eighth inning? And this is, you know, God, I want you to tell the folks what you told me off air about how important the start is for R.A. Dickey tonight and why.
Well, it's crazy good because, you know, you're leading off a series against a first-place team, and obviously we all know that first-place team's trying to get bullpens early in series. This is a huge game for R.A. Dickey. He has to go deep in this game because of that reason. You need to save that bullpen, and let's face it, you just asked the question, who does John Gibbons go to in the seventh inning? Mm. Who does he go to? Forget the eighth inning. Who do you go to in the seventh inning? That's You know, and
Gavin Floyd and Jesse Chavers are the only two guys he's got confidence in right now.
I'm going to tell you
and
this.
And Roberto Osuna, pardon me.
If today I'm going to say this, I'll bet knowing John Gibbons the way me and you know him, I'm going to say they're going to have lefty-righty up come seventh inning. It's going to be a matchup kind of thing. It's not going to go, we're going to give Gavin Floyd an entire inning. No, because these games can break teams' backs, meaning you're up 5-1, you're up 3-1 or 3-2 or whatever it is, and you give up a lead late in the game. What that does, it puts pressure on every other part of your game, meaning your offense tries to do more. When you try to do more, trust me, I tried to do that when I played. It doesn't work. You do less. You strike out more. You pop up more. You try. It just doesn't work. And on the defensive side of the ball, they're playing great defense. So now it's all about going out and getting guys out late in games. This is a huge – this is the biggest start of R.A. Dickey's season this year is today, tonight, is he has to go out, be efficient, throw strikes, get after people early. If he has to throw slow breaking balls, if he has to mix it up to do something to get the feel of the knuckleball, whatever it takes. You know, you hear Josh Donaldson saying on the offensive side, whatever it takes to help your team compete and win games. Well, tonight's all about R.A. Dickey for me.
You certainly can't afford a 3 2/3, 4 1/3 inning performance from R.A. Dickey tonight.
Well, I think if he did go 3 1/3, it would probably make John Gibbons' decision a little bit easier.
Yeah,
who are you going to go to in the fourth inning? Well,
that's true.
Probably Chavez, Gavin Floyd. That'd be an easier.
Right.
Come seventh inning, it's going to be a little bit tougher for him.
Want to mention, by the way, that Devin Travis got 5 at bats in an extended spring game. I believe was that Sunday. Friday. Okay, close, Jeff. 5 wow. at-bats in an extended spring game on Friday. He's expected to play second base in a game sometime this week. And, you know, we've talked about Devin Travis a great deal. There are people in the organization who were telling a few of us in spring training not to expect to see Devin Travis up until sometime in July, maybe at the earliest. But I'm hearing now that, and they're not going to rush him, but I'm hearing now that they may be ready to move that timetable up a bit. And again, it'll depend. Let's see him play in a game. But Kevin, in his absence, Ryan Goins playing great defense. Darwin Barney, whose pinch hit double kind of got the big inning started yesterday. Darwin Barney has been a pretty good performer for this team as well. Let's look down the road a bit. Devin Travis, he's ready to come back. And I know this may take care of itself. Injuries can happen, things like that. But where do you see this team going if Devin Travis gets back here?
You know what? I think if Ryan Goins was not playing defense the way he is and the way he's gelled together with Troy Tulowitzki, I think that would be a lot harder decision to getting him playing second base. I'm not real sure. I don't know. I think it depends on a lot on how Ryan Goins is hitting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think if he's starting to figure it out, making hard contact and getting some hits, now it's all about a couple of parts of the game. You're not just a defensive player oriented. It has to be, you have to give a little bit on the offensive side too. If Ryan Goins starts figuring it out and getting some hits and helping this team win, yeah, I see that prolonged, meaning Devin Travis is not going to be here sooner than we thought. Mm-hmm. Or that they're trying to think about. But, again, I think it's all about how their team's doing. You know, if they're winning games and they like the way their team's gelled, again, it's about defense up the middle. And to me, Ryan Goins right now, there's no second baseman like him. He plays it really good, and he's gelled a really well with Troy Tulowitzki. That's saving this team a lot of runs, and especially when you're, you know, there's a lot of question marks late in games. Is Devin Travis as good a infielder or second baseman as Ryan Goins? I think that's something you have to think about. And you just mentioned Darwin Barney. Hey, you know, it seems to me like John Gibbons is really high on him. He really likes the way he comes off the bench. I mean, he was 3 for 32 in pinch hit roles in his career. He comes off and gets a huge double because he's looking breaking ball second pitch. He gets it. He puts it in play. That's what a veteran guy does because he doesn't have play all the time. You know, he's figured out his swing enough to know I have to be short and quick to the baseball. If I get my front foot down and I look for a certain pitch, I get it. I got to put it in play. That's what veteran presence brings to you. Darwin Barney's going to be hard to, you know, to get rid of in that part of it.
It was a weekend for sweeps in Major League Baseball. The Red Sox, Nationals, Tigers, Phillies, and Rockies all swept series, wrapping up those sweeps on Sunday. The Red Sox beating the Yankees 8-7 Sunday, surviving another poor outing, another poor start from David Price. Now, David Price, you know, his track record of Fenway outside of the Blue Jays or outside of the Red Sox uniform was pretty good. He has not pitched well at Fenway this year.
Yeah, I think
is this just a blip?
Oh, well, no, I think it's got to be a little worse. And we talk about guys on the Blue Jays team not having that mile per hour when you're a true number one. And, you know, David Price will sit at about that 92 to 94, somewhere in that range, pitching-wise. And then when he gets in trouble, he can rear back and let it eat at about 97, 98. Well, he didn't have that now. That 97 and 98 is non-existent. So what do big league hitters do? They eliminate a couple of his pitches, and now he has to come with a fastball, and the mile per hour is just not there. And, you know, being left-handed and throwing 97 makes you elite. Mm-hmm. Well, right now he's not elite, and he has to pitch his way through it. Small bar parks in the American League East give you trouble like that, and that's what you're seeing. It's, you know, can he figure it out? Of course he can, because he's been there and he's done it. I'm sure he struggled a little bit with mile per hour, but it's got to be a little worrisome if you're a Red Sox fan and you're thinking, we just paid all this money for this guy and we basically want him to come in and be our Clayton Kershaw, and he's not being that. Yeah, it's worrisome.
He still 4-0, which, you know, pitchers' win records being what they are. But, yeah, it's pretty clear that he's got a 6.14 ERA in six starts. These are his numbers at Fenway. He's pitched 22 and two-thirds innings at Fenway. He's given up 27 hits, 21 earned runs. Now, before coming to the Red Sox, he pitched really well in Fenway. It's one of the reasons the Jays went out and got him. He was 6-1 with an ERA of 1.95. And John Farrell made an interesting point after the game. And he was talking about how he thought that Price's pitches were being elevated a little more than he'd seen in the past. What does that say to you?
Wait, on purpose? Purposely elevating?
No.
That means he's trying too hard to throw. He's trying to overthrow and trying to get the mile per hour back. And when you do that, you elevate the baseball. We're seeing that with a couple of guys here. It's when you, again, you know, it's funny that you say these things about playing baseball, but you can't try and play baseball and do well. It just doesn't work because it's a reaction sort of game, and you need to be nice and easy.
You can't try harder.
It doesn't
always work.
And that's what he's obviously trying to do. And when you hump up and try and overthrow, and you hear a guy grunting, and you can hear him grunting on occasion, which he doesn't do very often. But when he does, that means he's trying to overthrow or trying to throw harder. He's just like he's a human being. He turns around and sees the scoreboard and it says 91 miles an hour when he just felt perfectly mechanically right. And, you know, everything's coming out of his hand right. And he's like, holy cow, it's 91. So now my next pitch, I'm going to try and hump up. And when you hump up, it elevates. And it's straight, and when it's straight and it's elevated and it's not very hard in the big leagues, you know what big league hitters do to it?
Mm-hmm.
Even the Yankees. Now, the Yankees are the worst scoring team in baseball. Can't even believe I'm saying that, but they can't score runs. And even a team like this, Alex Rodriguez is turning that fastball around. No offense to A-Rod, but you know that when we saw him last time, he was having real big trouble hitting the fastball. So, you know, it's for the Red Sox fan, you just hope that this guy can figure it out, and I'm sure he will because we talk about track record. Now, you know, I'm not real sure I'm a big fan of that. I think it is how you feel, and you have to evolve to certain leagues and certain teams, and you have to figure it out. Now, let's remember, David Price has never pitched in Boston every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's different. It just is. The media and everything that goes outside of between the lines is harder. So I'm sure that may be having something to do with it because people are sticking the mic in his face and asking, well, hey, why aren't you throwing 97? And he has to answer that 4 days out of the week. So, you know, again, I think it's for, again, if you're a guy that's writing the checks for the Red Sox and paying $30 million, I think you're hoping and praying that he's going to get that back and start dominating and being the guy that the Blue Jays saw end of last year.
Red Sox, and again, there's no point. The standings really don't mean anything at this time other than they're a reflection of which team is playing well and which team isn't. But the Red Sox are 15-10. Baltimore's 14-10. Jays are 12-14. Tampa Bay is 11-13. The Yankees, 8-15. They've lost 5 in a row.
Now, remember who the Red Sox have just played, the Braves and the Yankees. The Yankees can't score any runs, and it's the Braves are rebuilding. So, obviously, they're in first place, the Red Sox, but – you know, it's a little different when you're playing teams that are struggling as much as the Yankees and basically the big three for the Yankees in the back end of that bullpen are eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even being used because
exactly.
They can't score any runs and they can't get a lead. So, you know, the biggest part of that team's not even being used right now. It's so, you know, let's not get ahead. You can look at the Blue Jays or the way they're playing. They're only 3.5 back. It's
right. But it's a good point you made about the Yankees. It's that nuclear bullpen that we've all talked about. It hasn't been a factor so far because they just don't score enough runs.
Yeah, and the Yankees are showing right now what everybody thought they were going to show: age. Basically, that's the way it is, right?
Yep.
I mean, I hate to say it this way, but when I got older and I couldn't hit anymore, it wasn't because I couldn't hit a breaking ball. And wasn't because my mind went and I didn't know how to hit. It was just because I couldn't hit a fastball consistently in and out of the strike zone, closer to me and away from me. I just couldn't do it. And you get older, that's the way it is. It's the harsh reality of playing baseball. And now it's the day of the hard thrower. And, you know, every guy that comes in a game now is throwing upwards of 95 miles an hour. And when you got a little age on you and you're trying to cheat, and then a guy starts throwing back foot sliders on you, you look silly because you're out on your front foot. You know, it's a little embarrassing, and I think that's what the Yankees are going through.
Steve Busby is the Texas Rangers TV play-by-play voice. He is in town for this series. Steve Busby will join Kevin Barker and myself. We'll take a look at the Rangers. We'll get the Rangers' perspective on their return to Toronto for the first time after that bat flip. It's Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker on the home of the Blue Jays, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to Baseball Central from Monday, May 2nd. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker for your listening pleasure.
Hello.
Got Jays baseball tonight on Sportsnet Ontario and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. First pitch will be just after 7 p.m. The Texas Rangers and A.J. Griffin in town. He'll be on the mound against R.A. Dickey. Dan Shulman, Buck Martinez, and Hazel May will be working the game. Jerry Howarth, Joe Siddle, and Mike Wilner will have the call on the radio side. And immediately after the final out on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, you can vent by calling Mike Wilner.
I'm going to call in.
On the Blue Jays talk. I am. We should do it some night. Just call
in. We should.
But Wilner, see, I don't like doing that. I don't like disguising my voice and calling in.
I don't think I could.
I don't know. Why don't you talk with the... bit of a twang that might.
Oh, funny. You trying to be funny?
No, I'm not trying to be funny. It's the first of four against the Texas Rangers, the first trip to Toronto for the Rangers since you remember that game, the American League Division Series game. Weirdest game I've ever covered. And of course, the highlight, I guess we want to call it from a Toronto point of view. And God knows we've seen it enough every time we turn on the TV or pick up a paper, or buy anything. I mean, you've got Jose Bautista's bat flip. This is the first game, as I said, for the Rangers in Toronto since that particular incident. At the time, there was a little bit of a set to between the two teams. That, of course, has raised suggestions that this series may be played with, shall we say, an exaggerated sense of competitiveness. Although, as my colleague Kevin Barker pointed out, if you're the Texas Rangers, why would you throw at anybody when you've got a team that can't hit, which makes a fair amount of sense.
No, it's not hitting.
Not hitting.
Not can't hit.
Not hitting. Steve Busby is the TV play-by-play voice of the Texas Rangers. Steve Busby joins us on Baseball Central. Hello, Steve.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
We're doing fine. How are the Rangers approaching this series? Business as usual or payback?
Well, it's an important series for them. I don't think there's any thought of payback. That's not certainly in the forefront of their thinking, but they've been playing well, and they look at it as an opportunity to continue to play well, especially away from home.
Steve, you know, you look at this Rangers team, and when you look at them, you obviously have Cole Hamels, and you're going to get Yu Darvish back hopefully soon for that team. you know, I look at that team and I try and figure out what kind of team they are. The Blue Jays, you look at their team, they're an offensive-oriented team. Obviously, they have a really good starting rotation right now. But when you think of the Blue Jays around baseball, everybody's going to say they hit the ball. Tell me what kind of team the Rangers are. Are they a running team? Are they a pitching team? What kind of team are they?
I think you'd have to say that they're evolving into a very good all-around team. I don't think any one part of their game stands out tremendously. So far this year, they've gotten very good starting pitching. All the starters have gone at least five innings in every one of their ball games. They've gotten timely hitting. They're second in the league in hitting with runners in scoring position. And right on down the line, their defense has markedly improved. I think they were second in the league as of yesterday, in defense. So, areas that maybe were a weak spot last year, they've worked very diligently on, and they've become a team that can catch the ball, throw the ball, and run the bases aggressively. And that's the kind of team that Jeff Banister wants. He wants a team that can do whatever the game suggests that they should do.
I would have to think that Jeff Banister is looking at the performance of his starting pitcher so far. And I think they've got, 19 quality starts. The starting pitching's been tremendous. But I've got to think, Steve, that he's looking at his starting rotation right now and looking ahead to when he gets Yu Darvish back. He's got to feel pretty good about where this team's pitching could be even in the middle of the season.
That's certainly a possibility. The one luxury that the Rangers have right now that probably they didn't foresee is their starting pitching has been not only good enough, it's been very, very good. They have the luxury of waiting until Yu Darvish is 100%. They don't have to rush him back into the rotation. And that's something that I think was all on everybody's mind in spring training is when do we get Yu Darvish back? When is he coming back? How can he get into the rotation? Well, the way the rotation is pitched now, there's not quite that sense of urgency of have to have him. It's when he comes back that he doesn't have to struggle regaining his footing. He can go ahead and get himself back in competitive mode with rehab starts and then be a contributing factor right away for the Rangers. And I think that's something that nobody thought was going to happen. Everybody looked at the bullpen and said, that's going to be the strength. But so far, the rotation has been the strength. And when Darvish comes back, I think it's going to be even better.
We talk about here in Blue Jay land about one guy that changes in your organization, like a Josh Donaldson. You look at that team, it's Adrian Beltre stands out to you. Every time we watch highlights of on any station, him making a play at third base, it's that run in, flip it sort of, down low, and it's a perfect throw right at the first baseman's chest. Now he's hitting .301. His OPS is .840. He's got three home runs. He's got 15 RBIs. I think it's more of how you see guys after he does something good, the way he's accepted in the dugout. It's pretty impressive to watch him play every day.
It really is. It's a tremendous thrill for me to get to watch a guy like Adrian Beltre on a daily basis. And all the numbers you brought up are certainly very accurate. One thing a number doesn't tell you is how well he's accepted as the team leader. He's not only the old guy on the staff, if you will, but he's the guy that everybody goes to, all the younger players go to with questions, with suggestions. And Adrian is kind of like a father figure. Although he's playing like a 25-year-old, everybody, he has that built-in respect factor that only playing well for a long period of time can get you. And Beltre lives up to maybe the unacknowledged captain of the Ranger ball club.
In conversation with Steve Busby, Texas Rangers play-by-play voice on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. A.J. Griffin will be starting tonight. He'll be working on 5 days rest for the first time this season. Tell us a little bit about A.J. Griffin, how he's fit in there, and how important he's been to the Rangers.
A.J. is one of those great comeback stories that everybody in spring training kind of glossed over. They were hoping that he'd get himself back to where he's competitive and maybe develop into a guy that could help you down the road someplace, maybe in July or so. And A.J. just took the bull by the horns and really had a good spring, made the team as the fifth starter. Coming out of spring training, and all of a sudden he's pitching like he did in 2012 and 2013 with the Oakland A's. He is not a dominant kind of pitcher from the standpoint of great stuff, fastball around 90 miles an hour, good sinking action to it. He has a a very good feel for a slow breaking ball, which coming off 2 years of injuries amazes me. You know, most of the time you don't see pitchers develop that, redevelop that feel very quickly. AJ's gotten it there. Good changeup, and he has a great presence on the mound, very calm demeanor. Keeps the guys around him calm no matter what else is going on. And, he's been a tremendous plus for the Ranger rotation.
Now, Ian Desmond obviously is playing left field. I played with him with the Nationals in spring training. He was obviously a shortstop. I see hitting-wise he's starting to get it going. How has the team accepted him in left field?
Ian has been a piece that, you know, being with him in Philadelphia, I mean, in Washington, you know the kind of guy he is. He's very much a gamer. He's ready to put it on any day and go out there and play. And he was the one that said he's very comfortable playing left field. It wasn't a matter of the Rangers asking him, and he begrudgingly said, yeah, I'll play left field for you. He was committed to the change when he saw how the winter went as far as free agency. And he has come in and just been gangbusters both on and off the field. Great guy to have in the clubhouse. He and Adrian Beltre really complement each other in their styles of leadership. Ian a little bit more vocal, I guess you could say, and Adrian, of course, a very calm guy, very toned down. But Ian Desmond has come in, and just like he was made for the Ranger Ball Club, he has done a great job. He's played a very good left field and occasionally center field for him.
You know, when we think back to that game, the American League Division Series, you know, one of the guys that we focus on the bat flip and all that stuff, but it was a tough inning for Elvis Andrus, who appears to have, at least, you know, looking at the numbers, has gotten off to a pretty good start, maybe one of the best starts of his career. You know, how concerned were the Rangers? I'm going to rephrase that. How did the Rangers do anything, Steve, to ensure that a guy like Elvis Andrus, you know, kept that inning in perspective and that didn't let it get to him? And you know, that it didn't become kind of this cloud over him. Did they do anything to address that, or is that all on Elvis?
Well, they did something. They talked to him the next day, and Jeff Bannister talked to him the next day after that game here in Toronto. There was no concern after that conversation.
Okay.
They knew very good and well where Elvis's head was. And, you know, Elvis very quietly went through the offseason, answered all the questions. You know, is this going to affect you? What are you going to do next year? This, that, and the other. Elvis didn't say a whole lot. He just kind of kept to himself, and he's come out and downplayed the importance of coming back from that. Mentally, that has to be a tough thing, mm-hmm. but he has done it extremely well. He's become a better infielder this year, at least statistically. But most importantly, he's playing an all-around game of baseball that it's been a couple of years since Ranger fans saw Elvis Andrus play.
It's almost as if he's returning a better player than he was when he was here.
Yeah, I think you're right. I do, and I think he's more focused. In personal opinion, and yeah. Elvis hasn't said this, but I think he was a little bit embarrassed, and it kind of slapped him upside the head and said, hey, you better get your thing together because you're a better player than that. And he's come out to prove it, and so far he's answered all the questions.
Steve, good of you to join us today. Thanks so much. We'll see you tonight.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Take care. Steve Busby, TV play-by-play voice, the Texas Rangers. Former teammate of Buck Martinez, as I might add.
Nice. Seems like the Rangers got it figured out. They play defense. They run the bases aggressively. It's a good test for the Jays. You know, they're going to have to start having better at-bats. They're going to have to put pressure on this team, and it's a good test.
Yeah, a couple of things are different about this Rangers team. Now, I'm going to check the box score from yesterday's game. I know that Delino DeShields Jr. has been hitting ninth recently for the Rangers. He's had kind of a rough patch, so we won't. I don't know if he'll be in the leadoff spot tonight or not. You mentioned Ian Desmond, but yeah, you know, the start that Elvis Andrus had, when you look back at that inning and you look at the start he's had now, and this is just statistically the best start of his career. I think he's got like one error through his first 20 games or whatever it is. So it's been his best start statistically, offensively and defensively. An inning like that, I mean, I don't care how well adjusted you are, I don't care how old you are, Kevin. An inning like that, you know, where, let's face it, you crap the bed.
It's embarrassing, right?
It's embarrassing, just,
100%. Steve said it exactly
it
right.
Says something that a guy can rebound from that with one of the best starts he's had in his career, if not the best start
100%.
He's had in his career.
Well, I think, you know, again, he's a very good defensive shortstop that hits a little bit more than most shortstops do. And I think this year he's starting to show that. He's starting to use all parts of the field. And, you know, I think he realizes now that he's on a really good team. And when you're on a really good team, you don't have to carry the load all the time. And I think he understands that now. And it's just go out and do your job and do it the best you can and let the cards fall where they may. And right now they're doing that. And again, it's, you know, this is a great test for the Blue Jays. Blue Jays want to be the top dog in the American League. Right now it seems like one of the teams to go through is Texas.
You know, one of the guys we didn't talk about a little earlier, we've got a few minutes left, and I want to mention him, Kevin Pillar, his first home run of the year Saturday. He's been a different guy since being moved out of the leadoff spot.
Yeah, well, I think he's allowed to be himself down in the zone. I think when you're leading off, you know, you see Michael Saunders, he takes a few more pitches than normal. He's going to take the close pitch. Pillar's not. Pillar is what he is. He's a very aggressive hitter. He goes up. He doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's 0-0 or 3-2. He's swinging when he gets a chance to swing, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's sometimes when you're a manager, you have to put a player in the right position to have him succeed, and that's down in the order. There's nothing wrong with that. This is a great thing for the Blue Jays when he's on base, because now pitchers have to worry about him, and when they worry about him, when other guys are at the plate, pitchers tend to hang things, and that's when you can hit the ball a little bit harder.
I want to mention, by the way, that as part of this homestand that is starting, the Jays will be taking on the Los Angeles Dodgers. Clayton Kershaw pitches Saturday. Do they have a day off?
I'm going to say Sunday.
All right. They face Clayton Kershaw. He warmed up for that game, striking out 14 in a 1-0 complete game shutout over the Padres on Sunday.
Is he good? Well, that's what, you know what it is. That's what number one does. When Dodgers were struggling, I think they lost five in a row. He stops it, or four in a row. He stops it. That's puts an end to it. That's what a true number one does. You know, I think that's why everybody in Boston sort of a little bit worried about David Price is, do we really have that guy? Is what they're thinking, because, you know, right now he's not pitching like it, and Kershaw is that definite slump stopper. Again, we talked about the 19-game stretch here. The Blue Jays are going to have to face these tough teams, and they're going to have to come out and battle. They're going to have to come out and scratch and claw for everything they're going to get. And, you know, this is a good test. We're going to find out what kind of team they are here.
What are you expecting from Ari Dickey tonight? Or let me rephrase that. What, you know, beyond the stats, what do you need to see from Ari Dickey early in the game that tells you that the Jays are going to have a chance tonight?
I'm going to take the Josh Donaldson thing where it's whatever it takes to help your team win. If he doesn't have the feel for the knuckleball earlier, do something else. I know, whether it's throw fastballs early in counts, whether it's throw them behind in the count, whatever it takes to get that team deeper in the game and give them a chance to win and scratch out some runs at home, you have to do it. They know their weakness now. And it's seven through, well, it could be six through eight. That's their weakness. So how do you stay away from that? You have to have your starter go deeper in games. Everybody else, the other four are doing it. Can R.A. Dickey step it up tonight and do that? And I think he can, because he's a smart guy. He understands. And now he knows what he has to do tonight. He gets it. So that's what I want to see from him. Now, are we going to see that? That's a different story.
Jays Rangers tonight, first pitch at 7 o'clock from the Rogers Center. It'll be on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet Ontario. And immediately following the game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, you can call in the Blue Jays talk with Mike Wilner. Again, that's right after the final out of the game. As the Blue Jays and Rangers start a four-game series, that continues on the weekend with the Dodgers coming in town and the pitching matchups for this series. A.J. Griffin, R.A. Dickey tonight. Martin Perez, Marco Estrada tomorrow. Colby Lewis, Aaron Sanchez Wednesday. Thursday, Jay Happ against Derek Holland. That's it for us today. Enjoy the baseball. For Kevin Barker, I'm Jeff Blair. Thanks for joining us. This has been Baseball Central. On the home of the Blue Jays, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.